Praise the Lord. I believe we have some angels present today.
Amen.
Oh, what a blessing to be here. And I want to thank Kyle and Carol, Tommy's folks, for asking me to come and speak. And what an honor it is to be here and take part in this ceremony. Well, folks, I'm so glad this afternoon that Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of all His saints."
Amen.
Amen? That means that this past Saturday morning, when Brother Tom took his final breath, the angels of God escorted his soul to the pearly gates, into the arms of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We're here to celebrate that life today.
Yes, amen.
And the way that he touched so many of us, and it's just a blessing to be here. Thank you, Val. That was really eye-opening. I'm going to be reading, if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, I'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And don't worry, as Elizabeth Taylor said to her 8th husband, "I won't be keeping you long." Promise to have you out of here by midnight. But in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, I asked the Lord what He would have me to say today, and He led me to this incredible passage concerning His sovereignty and concerning life and what life is all about. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon is writing his final book. He's the aged one, the wise man of Israel. And he's learned a few things over the years. Amen? And through the school of hard knocks, he came to a conclusion. At the end of the book, the final verse, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." What is this life all about? He said, "Fear God and keep His commandments."
Amen.
"For this is the whole duty of man."
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
There's no greater thing that you can do than to fear God, love Him, and keep His commandments. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want to read a passage. This was written 3,000 years ago, keep in mind. And Solomon has reigned over Israel for 40 years. He's the king. And we read in verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time." Let me repeat that. The Bible says that He hath made everything beautiful in His time.
Amen.
Beloved, I want to speak to you a message this morning, this afternoon. I've entitled, "All Things Beautiful in God's Time." And before I begin, let me say this. Tommy's life was beautiful.
Amen.
In His time.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Father in heaven, how we thank You this morning that all things are made beautiful in Your time. That all things are under the divine hand of God today. And Lord, as we come before You, we just thank You for this celebration of Brother Tom's life and all that he meant to so many in this room. And Father, I thank You for these precious ones that You used to minister to his needs throughout his life. And Lord, they indeed are Your servants. Caregivers' work is never done. And we just thank You, Lord, that it takes a certain kind of person to do it. And Father, we just thank You for these workers today. We ask You to bless them and give them a peace that they did what they could to make Tommy's life beautiful in Your time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, folks, the passage here before us today is designed to show us that every event in our lives, with the time and season of it, is unalterably fixed and determined by a supreme being. It's called intelligent design. Amen? You are no accident. You were created by the living God for a purpose and for a time to do great things. I'm so glad today that I can come and tell you all that God has a plan for your life. A great plan. A wonderful plan. Listen now. All things in time and eternity, in all the universe, are under His hands. Therefore, we must not resist whatever God allows to come into our lives, knowing that He has appointed and decreed all things that do occur. There are no accidents for a child of God. Now, here's the wonder of all this, that God is personally working everything out, all of the events, all of the occurrences of your life, in order to produce something beautiful in His sight. He wants to make you, and you and you and you, a trophy of His grace. He wants to show you off. He wants you to shine with His glory, not only in this life, but for all of eternity. Now, beloved, I want to preach to you today a message I've entitled, All Things Beautiful in God's Time. Three things I'll give you and I'll be done. First, I want you to observe with me the general proposition laid down. Look with me here in verse number 1. Solomon writes, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. He said that God has designed everything in the world for His own glory. And that includes your life. Oh, folks, it's a serious message today. Because Tommy understood, as well he could, with his handicaps, that he was created for God's glory.
Yes,
you know, I talked to a Christian couple a while back, and the wife became pregnant, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, really, you should consider having an abortion because this child is going to be, Down syndrome. It's going to be a Down syndrome baby. And those parents looked at the doctor and said, what? Our child? Never. That would never happen. And the father looked at me and he said, Pastor, you know what? That child was the biggest blessing we ever had in our lives.
Amen.
Didn't live a full life, but it was a great blessing. I'm here to tell you today that Tommy was a blessing
to
so many of us. Praise God for that. Now, brethren, consider this declaration. Look at it. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Folks, it was no coincidence and no accident that Tom took his final breath last Saturday with his mom and dad present. Amen? With Val present. It was no accident because God has an appointed time for everything that occurs. He's in control. I like that. The Bible itself reinforces this truth over and over throughout all 66 books. In Daniel chapter 2, let me read this to you real quick. An incredible passage here where Nebuchadnezzar has a nightmare. And it wasn't because he ate too much pepperoni pizza. He had a real vision here. And nobody could tell him what it meant except one man, Daniel. Amen? And Daniel comes in. In Daniel chapter 2, in verse number 20, listen to this. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the dark, and the light dwelleth with Him. Daniel says, you know what, King? My God can tell you what your dream, what your vision means, because He knows everything. And he's in control of everything in this world. In chapter 4, again, Nebuchadnezzar has a problem. And the man of God, Daniel, comes in chapter 4, in verse 34. Listen to this. Verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. He's the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Daniel says right here that God does whatever he pleases and nobody can question him. Amen? It was God's decision to take Tommy home to heaven last Saturday. We cannot argue with that. We cannot question that. We need to understand that he wanted him in his bosom. Amen? Oh, it's hard for us. We'll miss him. Yes. But I'm so glad that God is in control even in our death. Hello? He's in control all the time. Now, something else. Henry Drummond tells of a children's book entitled The Chance World, which is now out of print. The book described a world in which everything happened by chance. The sun might rise or it might not. When children were born, they might have one head or they might have a dozen. If one jumped up in the air, it was impossible to know whether he would come down or not. If this chance world, a cause and effect, were abolished, law was annihilated, and the result to the inhabitants of such a world could only be that reason would be impossible. And it would become an insane asylum run by the inmates. Listen, that's a chance world. I'm glad we don't live in a chance world, amen? I'm glad that our God is in control of everything.
Amen.
I'm so glad that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. We know that Tommy's in the arms of Jesus Christ today. We can rejoice in that. Amen? We sorrow not as others which have no hope. We have the blessed hope. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the first thing, the general proposition laid down. But secondly, folks, we need to examine some of the proofs and illustrations of this proposition. First of all, this chapter is unique amongst all other chapters in the Bible. Why? Because in this chapter, we find the phrase, a time, a time, a time, no less than 30 times, more than any other chapter of the Bible. That means that God has a time specifically designed for everything that will occur in your life. A time to fall in love. A time to get married. A time to have children. A time to work. A time to die. And he is in control of all these times. Now, God is trying to show us here that he has specifically appointed and foreordained all of the events of our lives in order that they might occur at the set time and season of his choosing. That means that before you were born, God had a plan that Carl Waite would be born on such and such a day. By the way, his birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. In such and such a year, which we won't mention. He's older than soap, but he had an appointed time,
yes.
Amen, for him to be born. In the divine foreknowledge of God, there's nothing future. Everything's present before his eyes because he inhabits eternity. He knows everything before it happens. Now, let's examine some of these proofs. First, he says there was a set time for you and I to be born. And a set time for us to die. Look with me here in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die. See that? You all have a birth date. Your mom can probably tell you the hour you were born. But you also have a time to die. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. We all will be holding your funeral one day. Unless the Lord comes back and we get raptured out before we take our final breath. That will be all of us. one day in the coffin. The question is, are we ready to face eternity? Tommy was.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh yeah, he's dancing on streets of gold.
Hallelujah.
And he's loving it because he knew Jesus.
Yes, amen.
I'm so glad that you don't have to have a PhD and a doctorate on your wall to know Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that he made it so simple that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Are you saved today? I hope you're saved. I hope you're born again. I hope you know Jesus and your sins are forgiven. Listen, it's the most important step you'll ever make because there is an appointed time for us to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." There's a judgment to follow, folks, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready by accepting Jesus Christ. Secondly, there is a set time for sowing and reaping. In verse 2, he says, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, in the days that Solomon wrote, husbandry, farming, was the main employment. They plant crops, and then they pluck them up when they're all ripe and ready to eat, right? So he says, there's a time for you to work, and there's a time for you not to work. I'm glad that someday, well, there's no retirement from the Lord's army, but you all will be able to retire from your secular jobs. Why? There's a time to work and there's a time not to work. Something else. There is a set time for mortification and restoration. Verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal. Listen, certain things need to be killed off in our lives if we're going to serve God. Certain things need to be cut off. Right? Like that drinking, that drug addiction, whatever your sin might be, it needs to be killed. It needs to be crucified. And there's only one that can do it. That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? It takes the Spirit of Jesus Christ to mortify sin. But he says a time to kill and a time to heal. See, once we repent, we come to the Lord, a healing process takes place spiritually. And we begin to learn what it's like to really live, to live for God. The joy and the peace that we have by His Spirit. It's a time of healing. There's something else. A set time, listen, there's a set time for demolition and reconstruction, guys. Look at verse 3. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to break down and a time to build up. What is he saying? He's saying that certain things need to be eliminated from our lives if we're going to please God. And certain things need to be built up in our lives, like a healthy prayer life, Bible study, church attendance, you know, serving God, obeying His Word, learning more of Him. Oh yes, there's a set time to break down and there's a time to build up. Something else, there's a time, listen carefully now, there is a time for sorrow and a time for rejoicing. Verse 4, we read, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Folks, life is filled with ups and downs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You'll be down in the dumps one day and you'll be up on the hill the next. God has designed it that way so that we would seek Him. Amen. Because someone said, every day with Jesus is a good day.
Yes, it is.
That's so true. You can't have a bad day with Jesus Christ in your life. I'm so thankful for that. But there is a time for sorrow. And there's a time for laughter. Something else. There is a time, listen, to prepare the soil and a time to guard the soil. In verse 5 we read, a time to cast away stones. See, that's, you're getting all of the rocks out of that ground so you can get a good harvest, plant some seed. And then he says, a time to gather stones. Why? You got to build a stone fence around that farmland, or else the wolves will get in and the thieves. We've got a bunch of thieves in the world today, by the way. And you gotta have a guard, right? Now listen, there's a time to embrace, verse 5, and a time to refrain from embracing. That's pretty clear. He's simply saying here that there's a time for sexual pleasure and a time for abstinence. Amen? There's a time, but don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, there's a time for pleasure, and that's in the marriage bond. that God has ordained. Amen? And there's a time for abstaining from sexual pleasure. And that's when you're single. Hello. I better keep moving. There is a time to receive and a time to give. Verse 6. A time to get. Listen. A time to get. That's when someone gives to you. And a time to lose. That's when you give away. See, there's a time for giving and there's a time for receiving. Folks, what am I saying? I'm building a case. Bear with me here. Okay? We're getting there. Something else. There is a time to rend and a time to sow. Now, in Solomon's days, when they would really seek God in prayer and fasting, they would just the guy would tear his shirt off and get on his face before God and start praying and fasting and seeking God for a particular need, you know? And that's a good thing to do. Not publicly, but it's a good thing to do, to pray and to fast and to seek God's face. And then he says a time to sow, time to repair. See that? Now, there's a time for true love and a time for true hate. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. What's that mean? Listen carefully. I used to love going out with my buddies, so-called, partying and having fun, until I met my beautiful wife. She'll tell you real quick what a creep I was until I got saved and God made something out of my life. Amen? I hate those things now. I hate going... You couldn't pay me to go drinking. I hate those things that I used to love. Time to love, time to hate. Follow me here. There's a time for fiery trials and a time for peace and rest. Verse 8. There is a time of war and a time of peace. Folks, listen to me. The Christian life is no game. The Christian life is a warfare against Satan and his demons. It's real. They're invisible. They got one foot up on you because you can't see them. They can see you. It's a warfare. But there's also a time of peace. Amen? That peace comes from the Spirit of God within you. And that peace comes from the Word of God speaking to your heart. Oh, yes. War and peace. Now, beloved, these are all proofs and illustrations of God's sovereign control over our lives. But there's something else. One last thing. We've seen the proposition laid down that God is in control of everything. We've seen the various proofs and illustrations of it. Time for this, time for that, time for this, time for the other. But finally, let's see the final result of all this. Verse number 11, we read, He, speaking of God, hath made everything beautiful in His time. He will make your life beautiful if you let Him. He wants to do something great through you. He wants to use you for the honor and glory of His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, you can have the most beautiful life you have ever imagined through Jesus Christ. There's only one way of having it, by letting God make something beautiful in His time through your life. Now, beloved, ponder the depths of this statement and realize that God is working continuously to make something beautiful out of our lives. I don't know about you, but that rocks my boat. I love the fact that God, who made everything, wants me for His honor and glory. Amen. I mean, it boggles my mind. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world. Yea, the things that are weak, the things that are despised, Tommy. God had chosen these to confound the mighty, to confound the wise of this world. Oh yeah. God will work through the feeblest of creatures. I'm living testimony to that. Folks, listen. It tells me that we need to allow God to have His will and way in our lives every day. Because one day, by His grace, we shall be a beautiful, shining trophy that He can show off to the universe. If we let Him. Amen? Now listen carefully. Matthew Henry once said, and I quote, that everything being made beautiful in its season is the divine, omnipresent witness that we ourselves are much more than physical beings. But we are the children and offspring of the supreme intelligence, and imagination and love of an eternally benevolent being. I'm here to tell you today that God is good. God loves you so much that He wants to become your all in all. He wants to save you from your sin. He wants to give you a home in heaven with Tommy. He wants to save you from the devil, from hell, from all of the evil of this world, and give you a life worth living. Listen carefully. This benevolent being we admire with clear eye and responsive heart through the heights and depths of His creative work, and not a curve is added to a leaf or petal, not a point of gold dust on an insect's wing, but is there for your eye and mine. And it has answered its purpose when we lift our hearts in grateful recognition to Him who is the eternal fountain and divine source of all that is beautiful. You know what's beautiful to God? Holiness. Wish you didn't say that. You won't hear preaching on holiness no more. Most preachers are, oh, just eat, drink, and be merry. If it feels good, do it. If you got a script, itch, scratch it. No. God is still holy. And He wants you and I to live for His glory. Listen carefully. He hath made all things beautiful in His time. And that will include you and me if we let Him make us beautiful in His time. Now listen carefully, beloved. There's one thing I left out on purpose. There's one thing missing from this passage. A time for this, a time for that, a time for this, a time for that. One thing it doesn't say. Listen to me carefully. The most important time of all is omitted from the passage on purpose. Let me tell you why. Not everyone will experience this time that I'm about to speak of. Only certain people will experience it because only certain people will accept it. You have a free will. You have a responsibility before God to receive His Son. I'm here to tell you today, folks, I want you and you and you and you and you to be on those streets of gold with Tommy and us, dancing and praising Jesus, shouting hallelujah. Yeah, the devil, he's going to hell like a bullet. We know that, and all his demons too. But God doesn't want any people to go there. God doesn't want any. Hell was not made for you. The Bible says hell was made for the devil and his angels. But people go there. They go there because they reject His Son. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus Christ is the only way you can get to heaven. Do you want to go? I already know. I'm already saved. I'm going. But I want you to know that you're going. Amen? Listen carefully to what I wrote here. The reason that this most important time in the life of any human being is not mentioned in the passage is because not every one of us will experience it. It's called, I call it, the time of salvation. I can tell you the day. I can tell you where I was. October 3rd in 1986, Bob Oliver got saved. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin. I was born again. The Holy Spirit came into me. All my sins were forgiven. Why? Jesus did it. I didn't do it. Jesus did it. And I'm here to tell you today that He wants to do it for you. Folks, listen to me. Let me make a statement. Today, right here, at this funeral home, could be the time of your life.
Yes.
This could be the greatest moment you've ever experienced in your entire life. How? By receiving Jesus Christ. Allah can't do it. Buddha? No way. Hare Krishna, whoever he is, can't do it. There is no other plan. There's only one way that you can make heaven your home, and it's through Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. The time when a sinner receives redemption from sin, forgiveness, eternal life through Jesus Christ, it's even more than that. It is receiving the righteousness of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me, He makes you righteous as a gift. You and I are not righteous. We're unrighteous sinners. But when we come to Jesus Christ, He gives you His righteousness. And when God the Father looks at you, He sees His Son in you, not your sin. Isn't that good? I have the greatest news that any human being can ever hear. And that is the time of salvation, the most beautiful time. Hey, my wife will tell you real quick. She knows me. And she knows that the most beautiful moment in my life was when I met her. No, it was a beautiful moment. But the most beautiful moment was when I met Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen? When you meet Jesus, listen to me. Light bulbs are going to go off, folks. You're never going to be the same. And you will be so glad you did. Listen, I call it a time to be lost and a time to be saved. A time to be born and a time to be born again. What about you? Can you point back to a time in your life when you were saved? Can you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? I didn't say, do you go to a church? I didn't say, are you baptized? I didn't say, do you put money in the plate? None of that can get you to heaven. It takes a person named Jesus Christ. And He wants to make your life beautiful today. Beautiful. I want to, before I pray, I want to teach you a song. Some of you might know this song already. It goes like this. In His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. Everybody, in His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, how we thank You. How we thank You for this gathering of precious souls who love Tommy. They're here to honor him, to honor his life in remembrance. We thank You for that, Lord. But, oh Lord, this could also at the same time be the greatest day of some of their lives by receiving Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can point back to the day and time when I got saved. Oh Lord, it's something You never forget because it's the most beautiful time in the life of a human being, receiving Jesus Christ. By an uplifted hand, You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. Anybody like, nobody looking around. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm not sure I'm saved, Pastor. I see that hand. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Just slip it up and put it down. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody at all? I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven when I die. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. And I see that hand. Anybody else? Hands are up. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Those who lifted your hands, I want to do something. Everybody's head bowed. Everybody's eyes closed. I want you to pray after me. In the privacy of your heart, God hears your thoughts. Just say something like this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say it inside. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You died on the cross. You paid the penalty for my sins by shedding Your own blood. Dear Lord, right now, I turn to You. I ask You to forgive me for all my sins, Lord. Forgive me. Wash me whiter than snow in Your precious blood. Give me Your Holy Spirit, Lord, causing me to live for You for the rest of my life. Lord, let this day be the most beautiful day of my life by receiving You now through the eyes of faith. I receive You, Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior from sin. Amen. 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 Now, folks, any of you that prayed that prayer and meant it, I want you to come tell me after we're dismissed, all right? Well, glory to God. Let's stand. What a blessing. to be here today with you all. And again, our hearts and thanks go out to the caregivers. You folks, as far as I'm concerned, they can't pay enough. Put you all in for a raise. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today. How we thank you today for a wonderful time of remembering Tommy's life. Lord, this is a special day. And Lord, it's all about him. And we just thank you for the years that you gave him with us on this earth. But Lord, like the passage says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. And the most important thing, Lord, for every one of us is to be ready for that day of death. When we take our final breath, to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior. That the devil can have nothing to do with us because we trust in the shed blood of Jesus. We're born of his Spirit. We follow him and his word and not the way of the world. We just thank you today, Lord, for making it so clear, making it so simple for us to know that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Bless us as we're dismissed. And Lord, my prayer is that for those who could not pray that prayer today, who are not yet saved, that they would become saved in the very near future because time is running out. The Antichrist is on the way. This world is going off the deep end and we need God. Lord, I thank you that all the prophecies are coming to pass. We're seeing it before our eyes. There's no time to waste. The time of salvation is now. Don't delay. We thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for Tommy's parents, his immediate family, his brothers here. What a blessing, his two brothers. Lord, we thank you for this family. We ask you, dear Lord, to encircle them with your loving arms. Hold them, comfort them, encourage them, Lord, as only you can. And we love them and we thank you for them, Lord, and their faithfulness to thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
I just wanted to briefly state that, again, those of you who can join us at the Country Town Hometown Buffet at the Portland, South Portland Mall, would you just please let them know that you are with the wait party for the banquet room reservation. Thank you. And thank you all for coming.
You want some help? Huh? Is that your computer?
Yep.